I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World. Here's a statistic about the U.S. that you don't hear publicized a lot. The country is 46th in the world in our infant mortality rate. That's nearly three times higher than the leading major country, Japan. It's even worse in some neighborhoods on Chicago's south side. So doctors there are looking for help wherever they can find it, even Cuba. Miles Bryan from WBEZ in Chicago has our story.
Yolanda Flowers has lived in Chicago's Englewood neighborhood on the city's south side for most of her life. And at 47, she's had problems related to pregnancy that are common here. Multiple miscarriages and one child born prematurely. She's had bare bones health coverage. So when a team of Cuban and U.S. health workers researching Englewood's high infant mortality rate show up at her door, that's something they wanted to talk about.
Have you ever had teeth removed or crowned because of a cavity?
Yes.
But not before asking about a ton of other stuff first.
How would you classify your oral hygiene? Excellent, good, average, fair, poor?
Fair.
Okay.
They also ask Flowers if her house has any mold, if she takes vitamins, things that might not seem related to infant mortality, to helping babies survive their first year of life. But asking a wide range of health questions is a cornerstone of Cuba's healthcare system and something the Cuban doctors are teaching their counterparts in Chicago. Jose Villamarin, one of the Cuban doctors, says his country's poor, and that's forced doctors there to lean on cheap home visits and health surveys to catch problems early. He says Cuba's used this method since the revolution in 1959 and says it's helped them decrease infant mortality from 60 per thousand live births to 4.3 per thousand.
Al cierre del año 2016.
That 4.3 number means that in Cuba, for every 1,000 babies born, between 4 and 5 die before the age of 1. That's a bit lower than the U.S. average, but more than three times lower than the infant mortality rate in Englewood.
Infant mortality rates in the Englewood community are some of the highest in America.
Ashish Ansal is one of the U.S. doctors on the project. He says income inequality and lack of access to medical care are largely to blame for that high rate. Ansal says they're focusing on infant mortality because it's a good benchmark for the community's health in general.
Essentially, it speaks about the quality of care that is being provided as a whole.
The Cuban and U.S. team has gone out on 50 home visits interviewing women of reproductive age. It's a rare partnership between the University of Illinois and the Cuban government, funded by the Kellogg Foundation. Kathy Tosas-Milligan, a U.S. epidemiologist with the project, says they're after useful information that doesn't always come up during a 10-minute doctor's appointment.
What we're hoping to discover is issues within Englewood that are truly impacting the health that are not being collected, that the doctors cannot see when they come and see the woman and prescribe her one pill.
The idea is that instead of the typical American way of waiting until one of the women from the neighborhood shows up at the hospital, the local clinic could reach out beforehand, before anything goes wrong. Many of the questions the team asked Yolanda Flowers aren't the kind that would come up in, say, a new mother's hospital visit. For example, Villamarin, the Cuban doctor, asks when she's last been to the dentist. I wondered why.
How does visiting a dentist have anything to do with infant mortality?
Yeah, there is a relation between the dental health and the prematurity, you know?
Premature baby.
Premature baby, yeah.
Research connects gum disease to premature births. That fact hit home for Flowers, who's lost four pregnancies and hasn't been to a dentist in almost 20 years.
Sometimes the answers are in the most unexpected places.
Tosas-Milligan, the U.S. epidemiologist, says she and her team looked across the U.S. for a model. But she says they kept hearing about Cuba because that country does so much without the expensive medical procedures that much of the U.S. system leans on, but cash-strapped people in Englewood often go without.
Sometimes it's hard for us to face some of our realities that as much as we spend, that we have somehow not been successful at improving or keeping our babies alive.
Tosas-Milligan wants to scale this approach to address other key health problems in underserved parts of Chicago. And experts say that this is possible, but would take a lot more investment. Marianne Mercer is with the University of Washington School of Public Health. She's studied Cuba's low infant mortality rate. She says Cuba's success rests on a whole lot more than just asking questions.
Well, it's an interesting idea, and I wish it were as easy as it sounds, because the Cuban health system and the Cuban health care system are so very different from ours.
Mercer points out that although Cuba is poor, it makes more resources available to at-risk women. In Cuba, she says, a pregnant woman who isn't getting enough to eat will be fed because of government-issued rations. A woman in the same situation in Englewood might get more attention under this pilot project, but her groceries would have to come from somewhere else.
So it's nice to say, yeah, we could do it if we were willing to expend the resources, but I'm not convinced that we could. Would. I'm not convinced we would.
The U.S. health workers tackling this new approach say they get how hard it would be to make what happens in Cuba happen here in Chicago. But they think it's worth trying. For The World, I'm Miles Bryan in Chicago.
Miles' story was made possible with support from Kaiser Health News.